Hi, everyone. Irit Izips here for CSM Practice, the customer success strategy consulting firm. And on this channel, as you know, we dedicate a lot of the conversations around how do we manage customers? How do we do customer success at our organization as best practices? And every now and then, I like bringing a customer success manager from the trenches to tell us all about how their day unfolded and how do they manage things. And so today I have Bhavika Kochar. Hi, Bhavika.
Hi, Irit. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so honored to have you on my channel because you're doing so much for the community. Tell me a little bit about, besides being a customer success manager, how do you spend your day?
There are so many things to do in a day, and sometimes you feel 24 hours is a very short time duration. Right. I used to feel the same when I was in the industry as well, when I was working as a customer success manager, because as CSMs, our work never ends. It's a proactive job. You need to be in touch with your customer. It is never-ending job. So there are different things that I really have to be in, but the good thing is that I'm able to prioritize my time and be able to manage.
Tell me a little bit about your side project.
Yeah, so currently I have two side projects. So one is, of course, CS Ladies. And of course, you must be aware about this community, which we had started, I think, 1.5 years back. This community, of course, aims the personal success for women. And the second thing is my own podcast, which is called Bhavika's Chat Show. So on both of these initiatives, I've been trying to get in touch with customer success professionals or even people outside CS, because for stories, it's not just limited to CS. You can find stories and interesting people outside customer success as well. So that's how my side projects are going on. And of course, it's a lot to tackle right now because there are so many things. You're in a different country altogether. You're trying to settle in as well. So trying to manage. But the good thing is that, yes, I'm able to keep up the pace. Yeah.
Which is amazing because I think a lot of people just trying to get by doing their job during the day and then juggle personal lives. But you add on your podcast and your CS Ladies community's involvement. I kind of wanted to have you on the show because you're such a good, well, role juggler, essentially. Tell me a little bit about how do you kind of squeeze that all into your life? And what would you say are some of the top tips, if you could have them, to other young professionals that have to juggle all of this?
So I think, first of all, we need to accept the fact that it's not easy because there are so many things and you're just a single individual. First and foremost, it is also very important to understand that you need to give yourself also that time, because if you don't do that, you'll get burned out. And it becomes overwhelming. So I don't push myself to that limit where it starts affecting me. So I do take out time for myself. I do go out, do exercise, pray, all such things. I do that because they are important for my personal well-being. And after that, when whatever you have, the amount of time that you have, you need to prioritize that really well. You need to understand when maybe in this to-do list, if I have 10 items to do maybe this week, which things should be picked up first and which things can wait. It's important to understand which things can wait, because what happens, sometimes people take up those things which are not so urgent and leave those things which are really urgent. So for instance, as a customer success manager, when I was working in my firm, maybe currently the first thing that's important to me would be handling an escalation, because that's really impacting the business. And publishing my podcast, it can wait. It can wait for next 2-3 days as well. That's perfectly fine. But I can't afford to lose my customer. So that's how you need to have the right prioritization. And it's okay to be slow. Take your time. That's perfectly fine. We are not in a rat race. We are not here in competition with anyone. It's all about taking your time, understanding, okay, there are some days in it wherein you might not feel like doing also something. And that happens to all of us, which is fine, like, which is perfectly fine. As human beings, you might feel like, okay, today I just want to be out in the nature or just have some coffee and relax. So that's fine. You need to be kind with yourself as well when you're trying to juggle. That's the most important thing that I take care of, because otherwise an individual would get burned out, and we really don't want that to happen to anyone out there. Yeah,
definitely not. Definitely not. All right. So Let's say, you know, as a customer success manager, there's a lot of things that we need to accomplish during the week, the month, the quarter. Did you end up doing a lot of like a list of things that you needed to do, like a to-do list?
So yes, I am a big time fan of to-do lists. And of course, those lists never end.
Did you color code them? Like,
Yes, I do color code. I use different pens. That maybe red pen is for something which is very urgent. Green can, it can wait for around a week or so. Or a blue pen could be something like, okay, I need to cover that up in next 2 to 3 days. So I do use different pens, different color schemes. Sometimes it is also very important to understand that it might not be a priority, but it is important. So you need to actually divide those tasks into different buckets. So I remember there is this quadrant. I saw this quadrant somewhere out there on social media where it said it's not important, but it's urgent. It's important, but it's not urgent.
Yeah.
I tried using that also once and I think it worked. It worked quite well. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So let's say you use the color codes and then you have still like 6 items that are in red, like stuff that you need to do fairly urgently. How do you tackle those? Like, how do you decide what to do first?
So I think the first thing that I take care of is that what kind of result am I chasing with those 6 things? So for instance, if I have 6 things on my list right now, and one of those could be that maybe I need to complete my assignment, or it's my final term exams that are, of course, very important. One of them could be that I have a meeting, my founders call with CS Ladies team. Now, of course, it is very important to tie that task to the result. That what are you actually chasing? So the call can wait because, again, we all understand each other and the team is really supportive. That's perfectly fine.
So due dates and impact are the two things. See, you know what? I look at that too, but I also look at, out of these tasks, how many are going to be very quick to finish and how many of them do I actually need a 3-4 hour window to just sit down, concentrate and be done with? I call them rocks and stones. And so there's no way I can do more than one rock. And so even if I have 3 rocks that needs to be done really urgently, maybe I can space them out in a few days or start thinking about blocking certain hours in the day to just sit down and do something. But it's kind of nice always to have a few pebbles in the list that you could just check off really
quickly.
Strike
off. Feel
good about yourself.
No, that definitely gives you that feeling of relaxation when you're actually striking off those things in your list. So I totally feel you there.
Okay, so besides to-do list, do you do the to-do list every day?
So I prefer before sleeping, I definitely make a to-do list for the next day. That's what it's been working out for me from, I think, 4 to 5 years. I've been following this and it's working great. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Another way that I do my to-do list is that I actually create a sort of like a quadrant inside of I have a notebook, I'm not gonna lie. And so I sort of create a quadrant, kind of like you said that you would. But because I'm also like a business owner, so typically I have to do like one quadrant, maybe like personal stuff. The other one is marketing related. And then the other one is sales. And then the other one is customers. Did you end up like doing sort of like different lists and try to squeeze them? I feel like when I do that, it forces me to think about what is it that I need to do for each one of these core items or core criteria or categories of list of things that I need to do. So in your case, it would be as a CSM, it might be, okay, things that I need to do for customers, things that I need to do for my team, things that I need to do for my personal home stuff, or things that I need to do in general for my career. Yeah. Did you ever kind of thought about it in different criteria?
Yes, that's really important to do. Why? Because I think the situation that you mentioned wherein we have different things in our life. And if we just keep a single to-do list, which is quite generalized in nature, you might miss out on some specific things in regards to that specific domain. So I think I'm very much there with you. It is very important to divide these to-do lists also as per different priorities in your life. So for instance, when I was a CSM, okay, what are the things that I have to do at work? What do I have to do at home? Where can I spend my time for myself or maybe for my parents, for my family? What can I do for them? Because they are also a really important part of our life. What can I do for my personal brand? What can I do for my podcasting? Also then networking. That's something else. That's another domain altogether, because you might like to get on calls with people, try to understand them. And of course, I love networking. I really can't be without networking. I love talking to people, knowing their stories, knowing their pain points. So that's another domain that I used to look at. Apart from that, okay, then there is one very important segment in my life wherein I really want to help out people. And that's how, okay, I devise the time that maybe on Thursdays or Fridays, my calendar is open for people out there. They can book that time. I can help them with resume reviews and job search and stuff like this. So as per your priorities in life, you can have these different buckets and then list down all the tasks under these domains. And of course, then you can maybe also come to a generalized to-do list for all these domains that, okay, what is important for my personal growth? What is important for my career? When I was working, I was also looking at, okay, I have to go for my higher education. What do I have to do there? Do I have to fill up forms? What are the priorities there? What are the priorities at work? So it's important to devise that as per domain. And I think that's a wonderful thing that you brought up in it. Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing that too. So let's talk a little bit about the CSM. We have so much coming our way. And a lot of times, customer success managers feel reactive. How do you get away from that and just like answering emails and having your calendar constantly bombarded with meetings? How do you get away from that? How do you block that time for yourself to do those list of things that you wanted to get around to? Tell me a little bit about how you manage your time and how do you manage your calendar?
Yes. So I think, of course, as a CSM, there are a lot of things that come on our head. Sometimes there are meetings with stakeholders and they can be impromptu. Something is happening, you need to join them, or customers are emailing you maybe around support issues. They're not so very clear that, okay, they need to get back to the support team. Rather, they'll get back to you that please solve this for us. Now, I think the first very important thing is that you need to understand what falls in line with your roles and responsibilities. So for instance, you get some mails around support issues, you can just redirect them to the support team, because again, we have a specialized support team who can handle that thing. So it's important to, like you just said, strike off those smaller things. Okay, you're just redirecting them to the other team and the team can take care of it. Mm-hmm. Secondly, what I feel like, it is important to block your calendar, even if it is for your personal time, wherein you are using that time to analyze data, or you're using that time to analyze the account performance, or maybe you're using that time to meet some C-level executive at your customer's company. So it's important to block that time on your calendar, because when people see that slot is empty and that's free, let's book it. And of course, it creates that mess. So it's important to book that time. Even if for instance, when I was handling for more than 300 customers, it's not easy to handle 300 plus customers. So yeah, and it was definitely very difficult. Now, what I used to do is, out of the days that I had selected, okay, this day I'll be handling the high touch accounts, this day I'll be handling the low touch accounts, and I divided them and I kept my calendar blocked so that during that time, I'm not disturbed by any meeting or by any sync up or anything like that. So it helps me give me that focus time. You need to have that focus time. And when you're, of course, working with clients, customers, and it's important to proactively also understand where is the account going, how is the performance, and that's how you can come up with your strategic improvements in the account. So that's what I was doing back then. And moreover, I think one more important thing is, it is very important to clearly set your priorities. If you're talking to someone, you need to clearly tell them, okay, this is what is my agenda for today? And maybe I'm not available during this time. This time is maybe account performance analysis time or something like that, so that they are prepared. They have, so it's important to clarify things so that they know and they understand that, okay, this person is not available during this time of the hour, which is fine.
So you mentioned you own 300 accounts. That's a really big book of business. So we talked about, how do you manage your week, your day with to-do lists? How do you manage your calendar and kind of block times to be able to do analysis, to be able to answer emails even? Yeah. 300 accounts, though, that means that in a quarter, what was your goal? Is to touch, you mentioned you, first thing that you've done is segmented your account base to strategic and lower touch accounts. How many strategic accounts did you manage?
So this was at one of the companies that I worked. Yeah. The last company that I worked at, I was just handling enterprise accounts. So for enterprise section, I just had 4 to 5 accounts and they were all Americas and LATAM accounts. Before that, I worked in a company wherein I was handling 300 plus accounts. So there, yes, it was difficult to handle 300 plus accounts. And of course, when you are managing set of those accounts as a CSM, you need to take care of them end to end. And you know that, of course, engagement, product adoption and everything. How I used to handle such large booker business was that I used to divide them on the basis of the brand value or maybe the MRR or the ARR. Sometimes there is a brand that's paying you a lot. And there are some brands which may not pay you a lot, but they're really good for your business. So you are maybe connected to X brand, but they might not pay you, but it actually helps you in building up your brand also as a company. So you can't afford to lose them. They are important for you.
So those were your strategic accounts, your most important accounts. And you mentioned that you blocked one day to handle those. Must have been like a dozen of them. What did you do with the other 390 or whatever accounts that were not strategic? Yeah. How do you cater to them? Do you call them or do you kind of come up with a customer campaigns? Like, what do you do? Or is it just mainly just the renewal transaction for those accounts?
So I'll tell you, the accounts that I used to handle at one of the companies, which were around 300. So out of those, majority of them were strategic accounts. There were very few medium-based accounts and they were like more fewer than that were lower touch base accounts only. So if I talk about the low touch accounts, they are very much self-driven. So they really don't need CSMs much. You can, of course, look at the account renewal, like you mentioned, renewal based accounts, or maybe if you feel like there's a problem with the account or implementation, there's some issue with implementation, you can always redirect them to the support team. They don't need that strategic factor much. However, when they come back to you, of course, we will have to resolve those queries for them as a CSM. But since they are not so important for the company's business, they're not given that kind of an importance like a high touch account would be given.
Yeah. So sounds like you gave them like a just in time type of interaction as needed. They had a lot of technical issues, you would reach out and kind of give them a little bit of what we call a TLC, tender love and caring.
Yeah, tender love and caring, and maybe sharing some help guides, sharing some training videos so that, they are able to use the product. And if they need any help, of course, we are all there for them. That's definitely the case. But that's how I used to divide. And it's also on the basis of what cadence you need to follow with the engagement of these specific accounts. So for instance, for high touch accounts, maybe you need to be in touch with them twice a week, something like that. On the contrary, if you're handling a low touch account, you might need to get in touch with them once a month, which is perfectly fine. But you need to get in touch with your customers because that's what a customer success manager's job is. Because irrespective of the fact that they are paying low or they are paying high, they are your customers and you need to get in touch with them. It's just about prioritizing and defining that cadence of communication and engagement with them.
How did you do data analysis for that customer cohort? What kind of data points did you look at in order to decide how you're going to prioritize your week?
Yeah, so I think with respect to data analysis, that's one of my most favorite parts as a customer success manager. I think data is the new oil. Data is used everywhere. Without data, without numbers, people don't understand many things because just text out there will not make that kind of an impression. However, if you put some data around it, you'll gain eyeballs. So it is very important to use data. And I used to do a lot of data analysis. Since I come from an IT background, I'm an engineer as well. So I used to do a lot of automation at work. I used to use Excel, VBA, Tableau. I love Tableau, the way it visualizes various data points and creates those wonderful reports. I think I've not seen that in some of the other softwares. So I really love enjoying Tableau. And that's the reason I'm working here at Duke also in the Fuqua School of Business for this specific course as a TA, where just Tableau is taught. And I just love the course and, of course, the professor. So Tableau is one thing which really, I don't know, it drives me. And I am really passionate about Tableau. And I used to use Tableau. I used to have VBA macros created because what I feel in it is very important to automate things. We are in this century where IT tech is all around us. Yeah. And if things can get automated and if they're manual in nature, why not let's automate it and save that time and efficiency for us as well and for our team as well. And that's what I did at Amazon also. I was there and I was working for a project there and I used SQL queries to automate a task. And the time of the task got reduced from
customer success related tasks?
So I joined Amazon like in the beginning of my career. So at that time, I was just an associate. Right. And I was part of a team, and it was an operational task. So that task used to take around 5 minutes per product, something like that. There was a per product ID kind of a thing. I reduced that task from 5 to 1 minute using that SQL query. Yeah,
so I think there's a lot of opportunities for CSMs to automate tasks using customer success solutions or just productivity tools like Zapier.
True. Zapier is definitely one of the most important thing if you're a customer success manager, and it definitely helps you because you can integrate it with so many integrations. Like I do that for my personal stuff also. It's so easy.
Me too.
And even like at one of the companies where I was working as a customer success manager, I implemented this project which would automatically fetch JSON script from the website, so that you can check the integration automatically. You don't have to go to each and every website and see the script. So I made this VBA macro, which would automatically fetch that. And I quite loved doing that. So that was also one automation project that I did. And then with respect to Zapier, I think that's one thing which is like, I love Zapier for sure.
What kind of things can a CSM do with Zapier?
With Zapier, I think you can do a lot of things. You can connect your email to Slack. You can connect your CRM to email, and then you can create a workflow. There are a lot of things.
Give me an example. Like, have you used Zapier as a CSM? Like, what was one thing that you used it for?
There was a project that I did at a company as a CSM, and there I used Zapier to actually create an entire HubSpot workflow. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you, for instance, when users land on the website and they give scores, right? The NPS scores, that how likely are you to recommend this product to someone in your audience or network, and they rate us on a rating of 0 to 5. What we were trying to do there was that get these ratings to the specific CSMs in their Slack chats.
Oh, so that they can immediately see it, and they can immediately
see it. Yes. Yes.
Reach out to the customer. Did you also automate the email that they sent out to the customer? No, you did. That was something that they would do manually.
So I don't remember this quite. It's been 3 years ago. But what I think, the flow from getting the feedback till the Slack chat was created. And that's how we use Zapier and HubSpot in between that. And as far as creating the email thing is concerned, that's also very easy. Like, you can just connect Slack with email, right? And there are a lot of automations you can do that way also. But I think what I think in it, once you know that, okay, your customer has rated you 3 on 5 or 5 on 5, it's important to maybe reach out to them with a personalized note rather than just doing that auto, because automation is good, but it is also important to understand where we need to put in our personalized effort,
right?
Because they're important customers. There also you can try doing segmentation. Customers which are low touch, maybe you can send them a generalized email template. Customers which are high touch, you need to get in touch with them as a person and talk to them that, hey, what's wrong? Where can I help you more? Yeah.
Right. And if ideally they left some comments, you can address the comments that they left so that they know that you actually read it.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we have today. Wow. So many tips on Zapier, on to-dos, on how to manage your calendar, using data analysis to manage as many as 300 customers. I think all of it is just amazing and really very, very helpful, hopefully, to many of the viewers that are watching our YouTube channel or listening to our podcast. Bhavika, you have so much energy. I think if anybody can learn anything about productivity, it's really from you, because you're just encompassing everything that's nice and wonderful in this world. Just a woman in the trenches, just going, doing her thing, what she believes in, super connected to yourself and your values, and you're living your true self. So I want to thank you for coming in on the show, because I believe more customer success managers should look at you as an example of young professional that's just not waiting for anybody to hand them anything, but rather creating whatever she believes is important for herself and the community. So thank you for coming on the show.
Means a lot. I think it was a pleasure joining you on the show, and I've been following you a lot. You're doing so amazing job. I'm a big time fan of yours, and I think I've commented also on a couple of such posts when I see your wonderful posts on my feed. Just keep up the work that you're doing. I think we all love you, and we are really blessed that we have you around.
Oh, thank you. And I love you, and I love everybody that subscribed to the channel. Thank you so much for that. Yes. If you like this video, give it a like.
Yes.
Connect with Bhavika. I'm going to include her LinkedIn information in the YouTube description below. And so you're welcome to connect with her. I know she's a connector. She said she loves to connect and network. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this video as much as I did. I'll see you at the next video.